Good afternoon.
Hi.
So who are you?
I'm Andy Gadiel. I'm the founder of Jambase.
What's Jambase?
Jambase is a live music website where you can go and find out what bands are playing in your area and when your favorite bands are playing and who's going to what show and where the great live music is in your town.
Now, can you tell me the history of Jambase?
Sure. Well, Jambase started 10 years ago in 1998 as kind of an evolution of a fan site that I was running, and it was really designed around helping me find where my favorite bands were playing.
What were the artists back then that you were into?
Well, you know, it was sort of the Fish, Grateful Dead, Descendants, you know, and we were following String Cheese and Zero and you know, just sort of all of these up and coming younger artists back in the day that were just starting to get going, and it was really designed around independent artists, you know, like the Disco Biscuits and Soundtribe Sector 9, and sort of, so there's this sort of coalition of jam rock artists, as it was being called at the time, and sort of over the years the site has evolved to really encompass all live music information from around the world, and we've been very focused, most recently included, to be about all live music, really just to be comprehensive as we can be.
So when you did it 10 years ago, what was the technology that you used then? What were the challenges back then from what you remember?
Well, when the site started, it was really built on Perl and a flat file database, and you know, the whole LAMP stack architecture really hadn't evolved at that time. So we, you know, the technology I was exposed to was the Microsoft Office suite, and so we actually started using Microsoft Access database. And the site had a couple hundred thousand people using it on Access, which a lot of people are shocked that it even was sustainable at that level. But it really helped me learn about databases and, you know, crossover between different tables and just trying to link data together. And so from that Access database, we evolved it into SQL Server, which was the natural evolution of that product. And now, still to this day, we use, you know, now we use actually SQL Server 2005. We haven't made the leap to 2008, I guess, is the latest product.
Yeah.
And then originally it was built using classic ASP.
Yeah.
You know, sort of the VB script evolution, and then just over the last year, we've evolved it to .NET 2.0 with C# as the code behind backend.
Now, how many revolutions or evolutions has the site gone through in these past 10 years?
This is we call this Jambase version 6.0.
There we go. I'm gonna turn off the little phone.
You know, it's funny. I think it was this phone the kite phone.
Ring.
Oh, I have the kite phone ring. Kite. It's everywhere you want to be.
It calls you.
It's internet that watches you. The site Jambase. We're currently in version 6.1. You know, so it's been six major revisions over the year and over the 10 years of history. You know, and every time we do a redesign, it's always, you know, figuring out all the different things that we do and sort of whether or not we do a big platform shift or we just do a big redesign visually of the site. The last version, 6.0, we completely redesigned the entire front end of the site and re-architectured it from classic ASP to .NET, which was an enormous undertaking, one which I would not wish upon anyone in technology. Pick one or the other. Either change up your back end or redesign your front end. Don't try to do both of them at the same time.
So what are some, besides that great word of wisdom, which I'm sure people who are in software development totally understand, what are some of the takeaways that you got from that, from moving from classic ASP to ASP.NET?
Well, you know, I think looking back on it, we rewrote every line of code, and that's something that we probably shouldn't have done. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Joel Splotsky from Fog Creek talks a lot about how there's sort of like embedded DNA in your code. You know, there's a lot of conditional statements that are built around business issues that you have, and then you have to rewrite those when you rewrite the platform. And so we have a lot of conditions and a lot of, you know, special circumstances around concert information that we had to really account for and rewrite and rethink. And we probably would have gotten a lot further if we had kind of kept the platform on the same path and evolved in pieces rather than trying to do it all at once, because it forces you to really take inventory and stock of your entire application. And that's very overwhelming for any team to try to do, and it forces a lot of business conversations that maybe you aren't ready for as a business, and everything should just kind of keep humming along. At the same time, it was good for us to reflect on where we had been over 8 years at that time and think about what our focus was going to be moving forward. So definitely was a major endeavor. I don't wish it upon anyone, and we're probably not going to do that again for a very long time, but we are excited to now be able to make incremental, you know, agile developments and really improve the site incrementally, tests, and switch stuff up. And so we're on a good product path right now.
So you mentioned Joel Spolsky. You've been following his Stack Overflow?
I've started to, yeah. And I find that it could be a really good resource for people looking for code advice, too.
Yeah. So take me a little tour of the site.
Sure. Well, this is jambase.com. This is the homepage. And you can basically, here in the top left, search for any piece of information you might be looking for, either an artist name, a venue name, a location. Or you can use the show finder to get a little bit more granular if you want to do venue, city, state, or a date range. Here are today's shows that are featured here on the front of the site. And you can see who's playing around the country. We have our featured articles, which are interviews and special features with artists and all around the world, you know, of all types of musical genres. We have our daily newswire, which we post 3 or 4 times a day, just up-and-coming press releases and information about artists. And we have show reviews that come in from members of the community or our team of writers that just are out there at shows and want to submit information. And anyone can submit content to the site. And it goes through an editorial process to get up on the homepage, and we put photos in it, and we, you know, add links and such. But it's really a very much of a reflection of the community and about the live music audience that's out there. CD reviews, we have a constant flow of CD reviews from one of our great writers, Dennis Cook, who does tons of work there, and our editor, Aaron Case, does great work on the featured articles. Andrew and Patty do amazing job on our shows database, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, live music concert information databases. We have, you know, over 60,000 concerts at any given time. We're constantly getting new feeds of data from a lot of different sources. You know, here's an example of an event page for a show that's going on tonight, and then you can click into the artist page to see when that artist is playing all over the country. You can buy tickets at any of the official ticket outlets. You can see any articles that were written about that artist, who the fans of that artist were, and any goods that might be available in association with that artist. So we do a lot of artist-centric information. We can also click in and see all the shows happening at a particular venue going forward. So we do a lot of work with venues and promoters and artists to get the word out about their shows.
So as you sort of dive into the code, for example, on these pages, what's the what are the aspects of ASP that you're using for example, these listing controls? What's some of the features of ASP that you're using in the site?
So we use we do use controls. You know, and there's a lot of different controls that are built in to these pages. You know, we do have the sort of the artist control and the repeaters that are built in there. You know, these areas here, this is just a repeater that prints out a listing of concerts. We're doing some Ajax if you're logged in. We actually custom built our own little Ajax control. And we actually are using an extension called CSLA, or the library of CSLA, which allows us for a lot faster and easier interface with our SQL Server database. So that's been a really big benefit of going to .NET, is kind of normalizing this large code base and having to communicate back and forth with our database constantly. We're using Lucene, .Lucene, for our search engine, for our search index. So if you search for Chicago, we ask you, are you mean Chicago the band, or Chicago the location, or Chicago theater the venue? And you can say Chicago the location, and it'll bring up concerts in the Chicago area and what's happening around Chicago. Or if you know you're going to be in Chicago for New Year's, and you say 12/29/08 to 12/31/08, you can refine those results to only be within that date range. Yeah. If you go, and people use this all the time for travel. And they say, okay, I'm going to be in this city, and who's playing?
Oh, great.
And they can also do that, you know, for their favorite artists. So if you register for the site and you log in, you can see, if you remember your login, you can see who's playing in your local area for your favorite artists. So we allow you to sync up the site with your iTunes library or Last.fm account, or you can just type in your favorite artist directly, and then it'll basically bring up a listing of your favorite artists in your local area and sync it up with where your friends are going to see. And so now I'm logged in and I can add stuff that I'm tracking this artist, or I can go into my Jambase and see all the information about when my favorite artists are playing.
Now there's a new API on it, on Jambase. Can you sort of go into the process by which you created this API and you made it available to developers, to people who want to create mashups?
Sure. So our developer platform and our API was really designed around people wanting to take the concert data that we have that is fairly regularly available on the web, but we're aggregating that and normalizing it and verifying that information and making that portable, making it easy for people to take that information and mash it up with their applications or build it into their websites. So we created a very simple XML API where you could submit a request, it's a REST API, to say, I want dates for concerts in San Francisco, and give us the zip code that you're looking for, and it'll return a very simply formatted XML file for those concert information. There really is no live music data standard. The live music industry has typically been a little bit slower to adopt new technologies, and so we really wanted to say, okay, this information should be out there in the public, it should be available for people, and how do we facilitate that and make that available to people? So we've got a lot of great people using our data to make concert information available to more fans.
So a lot of times when companies release APIs, people extend their application in ways they had not expected. What have been the most surprising or interesting ways that you've seen people use your API?
Well, one of the cooler things that we hooked in with was the iConcertCal, which is these guys built a overlay to iTunes using the visualizer. So if you're using your iTunes and you go to your visualizer, you can hook in iConcertCal, and that uses our API to actually ask for shows in the area of the person, which they put in their, and then it compares the shows with what's in their iTunes library, and will display those in a beautiful calendar format right there on the page, and you can click in to go to the Jambase event page for more information, and that's been very cool. And that was something that was really helped us propel the API in a big way. You know, we've been working with AOL on their Tour Tracker product, which is a big initiative of theirs, and we've loved what they've done with that information. We work with Rhapsody was one of our original partners that we've been linking into them for years, and they wanted to have concert dates on their site. iMeme, which is a local music company here and well-known worldwide, has wanted to have an event page on their site. And so we can focus on the live music information and getting that information in a very simple format for people to then take and use within their site however they want.
So looking in the future, where is the future hold for Jambase? What excites you and excites Jambase?
Well, you know, we're very focused on live music, and we think that, you know, amidst all of the turmoil in the recorded music industry and people not paying for recorded music, that the live music, people going out to see live music, is still going to be very vibrant in the future. You know, even with the economic issues that we're having today, people still need an entertainment outlet. You know, it's too depressing to stay at home. So we want to use the internet to get people to actually leave their computers and go out and see real live music. So we're very excited about connecting people around their favorite artists, about what shows their friends are going to. You can actually connect with people and recommend music to them without having to sort of remember, oh, my buddy lives in Chicago and my favorite band's coming to Chicago. You can actually create a system where it will actually recommend music to your friends around the country based on what you're into. So we're very excited about pursuing more in terms of recommendations, in terms of connecting people to new music that they love, and really just expanding the world of live music, because we think it's so powerful.
Well, that's cool. What bands are you into?
Well, my original sort of kickstart love affair with Phish has been reignited due to their reunion coming up in March, so that'll be a fun ride to continue on. And as I mentioned, the Disco Biscuits were a band that the sort of Jambase was started around promoting and helping, and that was it's very exciting to see them still rocking strong. And then our local heroes, Tea Leaf Green, is still they're fantastic, and they just played at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival and in front of thousands of people in Golden Gate Park, which is fantastic. So you know, there's never a shortage of great live music out there. And the beautiful thing about Jambase for me is that my musical tastes have been expanded, you know, hundredfold, you know, with the editors and the staff here that we've brought on that have such a variety of varied musical tastes. I've been turned on to so much good new live music that I would never have been able to see before.
Have you ventured at all into a spoken word at all?
You know, we haven't focused so much on spoken word, but it certainly would fit, and I'm sure there is spoken word artists that are listed on the site.
Yeah,
it's something that's kind of a, you know, it's not. I mean, we're not exclusive to rock music or jazz or bluegrass. You know, sort of all the genres of live music, and spoken word is certainly one of those. Yeah,
cool. Well, thank you very much for your time. It's very cool.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye.